Hello again, Nightmare Society. I hope you enjoyed your Halloween. I surely did. If you missed last week, we had a double feature program. One with your nightmarish true stories, and one on a nightmarish subject. I'd love to know if having these specials are something you guys are interested in. I'm thinking of creating a Patreon where you guys can begin to have a bit more say in the direction this podcast goes. A huge shout out to our contributors for this episode. Spooky Hippie reached out to me with her story, and I love that. Thank you so much, Spooky Hippie. Also, a big thanks to user Bear Support and user Scaring Turtles 666. For sharing their stories with us. Also, as I was recording this podcast, I had a listener reach out to me on Instagram. She was unable to leave a review on Spotify, which I have yet to figure out yet. I think it's not an option, but thank you so much, Kayla or Geek89, for reaching out to me and letting me know that you're enjoying the podcast. It really means a lot. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
Hello. I am a 22-year-old woman from North Carolina. I live on the outskirts of a fairly small community of less than 300 people, where everyone seems to know each other. Living near an abundance of wooded area has its pros and cons. On one hand, it's nice not living in such a busy area and having some privacy on and around your property. However, as I spoke before, there are plenty of cons, such as what lurks in the unknown darkness of the forest. Just to give some context to the story, I live about a half a mile from a small river. The bridge that crosses over the water is called Cap's Bridge. I've lived in the same place since I was 4 years old. There have been several occurrences of odd and unsettling things happen in and around the woods surrounding that bridge. I don't know if I'm sharing my story with you and your listeners for entertainment or if I'm actually looking for answers for some of the things that have happened in my life to make sense of them and educate myself. Here is my story. The first occurrence is the most recent one. About a year ago in October, my two closest friends, who were dating at the time, mentioned how far away from town I lived and how creepy the wooded roads were at night. Being the person I am, I always was one to creep my friends out since I love horror and scary stories myself. I went on to tell them of a few instances where they've creeped me out, all of which were true. Once a man drowned in the river just under the bridge. A woman was snatched from her car and sliced with a box cutter to be left for dead. Several freak vehicular accidents where people have died. A double suicide of two local teenagers on the bridge. A local man neighboring the woods and owner of my grandparents' old home had committed suicide. And a freak hunting accident where a boy lost his life. All of this is very unsettling considering we live in a very decent area. Everyone got all nice and creeped out while I was sharing the history of where I grew up. We pretty much ended the conversation with if there could be a common connection being the land or something else. Just to take it a step further, I jokingly said in a not-so-serious, playful, spooky tone, I ended the conversation with an embellished lie, saying, "Just before midnight on the deceased's birthdays, it is said they like to come out and play." Friendly punches were thrown into shoulders and we continued our evening. The next night I was taking my buddy home that I spoke with the day before about the area. It was late, maybe around 11:45 p.m. or so. We had come to the intersection of which you could take a left and head directly to his house, taking back roads, straight ahead to the bridge and forest-enveloped road that was oh so creepy, or right, to take us a completely backwards way than we actually were headed. All of the directions would lead us to where we needed to go, but as a joke to freak him out, I said,
"Let's pass over the bridge tonight."
Remembering the conversation the night before, my friend gave me a look of, "Hell no."
"Come on, it's close to Halloween. Let's do something spooky,"
I say to him, trying to convince him to live a little. He finally agrees after sitting there for a second, contemplating how silly we were being over urban legends. I hit the accelerator to travel what maybe have been 25 feet after crossing the intersection when the trees lined the sides of the road. I'm a firm believer in a gut feeling. And when I said I had a gut feeling when we hit the tree line, I instantly felt sick to my stomach. I wasn't exactly afraid, I just immediately felt sick, like I was going to vomit. My hands were clammy as I looked over to my friend in the passenger seat quickly. He looked at me at the exact same time and said,
"I feel like I'm going to be sick. We need to turn around."
I have never been so sure of anything in my entire life. I stopped the car hard, threw it into a three-point turn, and booked it back the way we planned on going back to his house. As I turned at the intersection, not worrying about the stop sign and literally no traffic at midnight, we both froze in crippling terror. There was a shadow that flew overhead of my vehicle. I drive a medium-sized SUV and it was larger than my entire car. Trying to assess what might have just happened, we are frantically talking to each other to describe and put into words the gut-wrenching feeling we felt at the same moment. Constantly saying to each other,
"You believe me, right? You actually felt what I felt."
I've never felt true terror before, but I wholeheartedly believe I have now. I believe in energies, both good and bad. I'm unsure if what I felt was protecting us from something terrible that night, or just negative energy being projected onto us. Whatever it was, I'm glad I did not find out. The next day, I was scrolling through Facebook and noticed a lot of people tagging a girl I had not personally known in birthday posts. I click on the link that sends me to the Facebook profile of a girl who passed away 2 years prior. She committed suicide with her boyfriend at that bridge. The posts were from yesterday. I felt that same sick feeling in my gut as I did the night before. I, honest to God, had no idea of anyone's birthdays of the stories I had told my friends. I immediately called my friend to explain I was joking and messing around about the recent remark I had made about spirits wanting to come out and play on their birthdays and how genuinely I did not know anything other than her passing in that spot. Thank God he believed me because I was obviously very shaken by the whole thing. I learned to not fool around with the unknown. Jokes may be entertaining, but some may manifest themselves into reality. After the whole experience, I did a little digging and found out, deep in the woods on the river, there was a small, hand-laid stone path that crosses the water. Apparently, it was used during the time of the Underground Railroad for people to cross the water safely, They say water attracts energy, good and bad, as I mentioned before. Do you think all of the oddities occur out of pure coincidence? Or is there something that ties this all back to the land surrounding the area? Hopefully I can find some answers and educate others to respect the unknown and tread lightly. To the dark shadow figure, I hope we never meet again. This happened 4 years ago at my then girlfriend's house. She lives in the sticks of North Carolina with the neighbors on either side about half a mile away. Her parents and older brother were home, and for context, we were both 15 at the time. It was around 11 p.m. on a Saturday and a car pulled up in the driveway. The headlights shined through my girlfriend's bedroom window and we heard a car door shut. My girlfriend and I figured it was a family friend or someone who was coming to hang out and drink with her parents. We didn't pay it much mind. About 10 minutes later, my ex's father comes into the room looking frantic. He tells us to lock the windows and to grab her gun just to be safe. He walked out the front door and we sat with her mom and brother in the kitchen. Her dad comes back around 2 minutes later, walks into his bedroom, comes out with a handgun, and walks out the front door again. We had no idea what was going on, but soon we heard her dad yelling. Then he walks back inside saying he took care of the situation. He told us that there was a car parked in the driveway with the headlights off and a person in the driver's seat. He said that he reached for the door handle, but the person looked up and whipped it in reverse out of their driveway. However, he thought that there was still someone in the woods because of the car door that we heard, so he walked back outside with a flashlight and his gun. When he came back in, he told us to lock everything and for all of us to stay in one room. He said that as he was walking around the house, he shined his flashlight into the woods, and there was a trail of reflectors that were stuck to trees, leading from the road to their house. He fired his gun a few times to hopefully scare them away. Thankfully, nothing else happened. It was a nerve-wracking experience nonetheless. Was this someone planning on robbing us? Murdering us? I have no idea. But I'm glad we didn't have to find out. We all sat and slept in the living room together and I left the next day. On the next day, her father went out to the tree reflectors and found them screwed into the trees. So this was definitely premeditated. He removed them immediately the next morning. Just for context, my boyfriend and I are homeless, and we live in our car. There's a road that leads to a quiet beach on the bay near some train tracks, and there's only one road to exit, so not a lot of people come down this way. Unless it's for beach access. People going to work in the industrial plants on the road, none of which were open. Going to an AA meeting, again, none of which were open at the time. Or if they are sleeping in their cars as well. Nothing in the area was open except for maybe a couple of bars, and even those were a good 3 to 4 blocks away. Most of the stretch of the road has 8-hour parking signs, so there are usually at least a few other people camped for the night, most of whom we've seen before. But tonight, there weren't as many. Just a few vehicles taking advantage of the overnight parking. We parked a little further up the road than we normally do, hoping to get a better internet connection. It was a little after 12:30 a.m. and we were relaxing, watching YouTube with the dog, starting to get sleepy when we heard a car pull up behind us with their lights off. We completely cover all of our windows so no one can see in, but we can peek out if we move the blanket and we can see headlights from cars passing or approaching. my boyfriend said it was a van. We didn't think much of it and kept trying to watch our show, annoyed with the spotty Wi-Fi connection. There were a few words exchanged on what sounded like was the other side of the street, not behind us where the van pulled up. It sounded like there were three or four people. A little bit later, the van drove off. Then we heard a knock on my side of the window, the driver's side. We shut off the volume on the laptop and called out,
"Yeah?"
Silence. So we called out,
"Can we help you?"
But again, there was nothing. It was then that I realized that my door was unlocked, so I quickly locked it. After about 30 seconds of quiet, I pulled open the cover and no one was there. Whatever. There are sometimes bums walking around. They could have thought we were someone else. It was silent for a while. Then we could see in the light of the street lamp through the crack on the sun reflector covering the front windshield, the silhouette of someone walking around the front of our car. Slowly. It was another solid minute after we saw the movement before we heard a quieter tapping on the passenger side window. This time, my boyfriend pulled the cover down almost right away, and again, we did not see who it was. Right after this, there was a knock on my side again. It was right about then that we realized there were still more than one person around the car. There was no time for one person to get from the passenger side to my side between the second and third knock. And we had heard more than one voice prior. I started to think that maybe not everyone had gotten back inside the van before it drove off. So, after the third knock, I pulled my window cover down again almost all the way. Super annoyed and on edge by now. There was a skinny white male, probably in his mid-30s to early 40s, holding a flashlight, and something else scooped awkwardly in the other hand, almost like he was keeping it under his sweater, but we couldn't make it out. The windows were steamed up from us breathing inside with the window shut tight, so it was really difficult to see out. Then he says,
"Hey, I need a jump."
Interesting, since there are no stores nearby. No reason to be down here at 1 a.m. We said,
"Sorry, we're just about to take off. We're in a rush."
He got frustrated and whined.
"Come on, I've been down here for hours."
Okay, if he had been down there for hours, why did he not A, ask us to help him out about 45 minutes prior when we pulled up, parked, let our dog out to eat, go potty, etc., and get our bed set up? Or B, attempt to start the car at any point? We never heard a motor rev up, an attempt to turn the engine over, or even the jingling of keys. Another thing that creeped me out is I could only see him. He said, "I need a jump. I have been down here for hours," when I could clearly hear that there were more than one person around, but we could not see them. For one reason or another, they were standing out of view, not making themselves known. After this, he grumbled and went across the street to a white car with black rims that we had seen before, but not associated with him. I got this awful feeling in my gut, and even though all the windows were steamed up, I started the car and told my boyfriend to start wiping the windows so I could see, and I just started driving. We could feel that there was something sinister about the whole situation. For one reason or another, they were trying to get us to open a door or a window. When that didn't work, they didn't respond because they didn't have a good reason made up yet.
So after a couple of attempts to get the door open, they gave us this sob story, hoping we would get out of the car so they could either steal the car while we were trying to help them, get to my boyfriend, either him directly or so they could get to me, or they were going to rob us for the laptop, which I'm sure they could hear and see the glow of the screen. The possibilities are unsettling and endless. Or maybe he was just a guy who happened to need a jump at 1 a.m., nowhere near any stores or houses, and I'm the jerk that left some poor guy down there on the side of the road, right? Well, we drove to McDonald's to eat something and parked in the back driveway of someone we knew so that we weren't right out in the open anymore. The lock on our trunk recently broke and is held together with only bungee cords, with most of our belongings inside. So it worries me that it could make us easier target for thieves. The next morning we were down there again and the white car with the black rims was still there. Only now the back window was busted out and the man was nowhere in sight. I think it was never his car to begin with. I think all of those people came in the van and one of them drove off so that the rest of them could rob someone outright, or so they could break into the parked cars on the side of the street when no one was in them. It was really stressful, and my boyfriend has been rattled for days. We're nervous to park in the same spot, so we're now looking to rent a residential driveway to park at night, where we won't be so vulnerable. My boyfriend teased the dog for not barking, but I think it was very intuitive of him because if we needed to pretend we weren't inside the car, we would have been able to do so. Maybe it would have scared them right off. I like knowing he will wait and watch me to know what to do in stressful situations. I'm just so relieved that I was not down there by myself. Even the two of us together, we were pretty nervous, knowing that we were likely outnumbered. But if it were just a 120-pound female like myself in the car alone, I'm worried they may have been a bit more aggressive about getting the door opened. Sometimes I think I watch too many murder investigation shows and conspiracy theory videos, and that might make me paranoid. Maybe it's the fact that my grandfather was a sex crimes and homicide detective for 30 years in the same area, and I grew up with him constantly warning me of the dangers that lurk in the dark and what can happen to a person. He taught me that real monsters are not boogeymen. They are just plain men. Another big thanks to Spooky Hippie, user Bear Support, and user Scaring Turtles 666 for sharing their stories with us. If you have a story you'd like to share, please email it to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. And check me out on Instagram at nightmaresocietyradio and Twitter at society_radio. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, sweet dreams.